Anyway, it's great to be here and great to be with Sean and Robin.
Awesome. Well, greetings from Syracuse. We'd love to cue the first slide. We want to show you lovely pictures of our brothers and sisters. There's a murder mystery night there that the Marrieds put on, and some singles fun game night. Christmas, we love Christmas. We always throw a banquet and serving downtown. These are your brothers and sisters in Syracuse, New York, and we send you greetings and love. Thank you so much for your love. Can I have the next slide, please? This next slide is me and Jamila Mishner. She is a sister who was baptized in this region 23 years ago when she was 19 years old. Your sister Jamila received her degree from Princeton, went on for a PhD. She is currently a professor of government at Cornell University. This woman has been featured on TV and news radio. She's been to the White House and spoken before Congress. If you are 19 out there, dream big. She is from Queens, and she is a queen.
Next slide, please. Yeah, that's right. This is my family. I'm JC. This is my wife, Shyla. She mentioned that that's her name because that is her name. And these are our kids. The one with the mortar on top of his head, that's our oldest son, Juan. He just graduated from Lemoyne College, which is also in Syracuse. And the handsome one with the grin and the sunglasses, that's my youngest son, Mario. He's 19 years old. And then over next to Shyla, that's mi suegra. That's my mother-in-law, who we all call Wella. She lives down in South Florida, but she was with us for his graduation. Me and Wella, we're about the same height. You may see that Shyla is about 3 inches taller than me, and my kids are 6'1 and 6'2. And some people ask me, how do you feel about your wife being taller than you? And I'm like, what do you mean? Have you never read Song of Songs, chapter 2 and verse 2, like a lily among the thorns is my darling among the maidens. I feel so fortunate to have her. And then you get a question like, what about your kids? They're so much taller than you. I'm like, what? If you're a disciple, you're like, I want my kids to be smarter than me, taller than me, more successful than me, more spiritual than me. I want them to be way more than me all the time. We are in Syracuse. That is actual upstate. Yonkers is not upstate New York. Just for everyone's reference here, Syracuse is upstate New York. We serve in a metro area that's over 650,000 people, which sounds small here, but up there that's a lot of people. And we have around 36,000 college students. If I can get the next slide, please. Today we're going to be talking about our spiritual journey, and we're going to be talking to you just about our experience, how we became disciples, a lot about the Smiths, a lot about Syracuse, but a whole lot about Jesus and about his kingdom. Next slide, please. We want to thank you all for your prayers. Thank you for your special missions giving.
Yes.
We ask that you please continue to pray for the upstate churches. If you didn't know, our church in Albany, the minister who was there felt called to move down to Texas. So Albany is without a staff couple right now. And a number of teens from the city of New York go up to Albany for school. So we are looking for a minister there in Albany. So pray for them. Pray for all of our upstate churches, Rochester, Binghamton, Buffalo. There's a group that sprung up over the pandemic in a place called Ellicottville, New York. You'll have to Google that. There's a lot of geography involved there.
Yeah.
They studied the Bible over Zoom and got baptized. And now there's 5 or 6 disciples there in Ellicottville.
Yeah.
Can you go to the next slide, please? Thank you. There's a quote. Some people say Stephen Covey, some another guy. As we talk about our spiritual journey, Stephen Covey has said, we're not human beings on a spiritual journey, but we are spiritual beings on a human journey. We are more than the husk that everybody looks out on the outside. Our spirits will be eternal. And so questions that we need to ask ourselves, and as we look at this morning, are how did we get here? Where are we and where are we going? But most importantly, what is guiding us on our spiritual journey? What is guiding you? Point number one, how did we get here? if you could go to the next slide, please. In Matthew chapter 13, verses 44 through 46, Jesus says, "The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought the field." Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away, sold everything he had, and bought it. Matthew 13 is incredible. It's seven parables of the kingdom. This is the fifth and sixth parable. And the first four actually tell us that the kingdom is corruptible. There's things going on like seeds falling on stones, birds are eating it, weeds are growing in it, birds are making their nest in it, yeast is growing throughout it. And yet here in parables 5 and 6, Jesus talks about the incredible value of the kingdom, even though it's corruptible. Verse 44, a man stumbled upon it, sold everything he had so he could own it. Verse 45, a merchant finds the most valuable pearl he's ever seen. He sells all of his other trinkets. He goes out and he buys that one pearl of great value. That's how everyone in this room who was a disciple got here, isn't it? Maybe you stumbled upon it. Someone invited you on the train or at university or on the street somewhere. You had a neighbor. Maybe you were searching and you saw someone with their Bible open and you said, "Hey, I'm looking to find a church." And you found it. When it presented itself, though, whether it was a short time or long, you made a decision that I'm going to do anything I can to have this. You said, I will give up anything. I will go anywhere. I just want to have this treasure. Yeah. Shiloh's going to talk a little bit about where we stumbled on the kingdom.
So where did we find it? Sean shared earlier that we met and were married while we were in the Army. We were both serving in the military in Fort Huachuca, Arizona. We got stationed in Naples, Italy, and we moved into an Italian community, but many Americans also moved in because we wanted to live in with the Italians. It was just so cool. And our neighbor, she was studying the Bible to become a Christian. She was not a Christian yet. She was studying the Bible to become a Christian, our neighbor. When we were moving in, she was showing us how to use the electricity and the water heater, different things. And she said, "You should come out to our church." Went out to their church. And we worshiped with them for about a year. And I never studied the Bible with them. I always said no whenever they asked me. These disciples here in this little living room come from different military bases, Virginia, London, Jacksonville. They're all from different backgrounds. They met in an apartment, in a different apartment, every Sunday, and they had dinner together and communion. This neighbor invited us to this little group. She's in this picture. I feel emotional right now. Anyway, so they reached out to us, studied the Bible. I said no. We kept going out. They just became our friends, and they loved us. After we were there about a year and a half, my husband found out he had cancer. He was 23. Sometimes I forget how old we were. He was 23 years old. We were maybe a year and a half married. He had cancer. We were a military family. We were sent to Germany, and we were taken care of at a military hospital in Germany, and then sent to Washington, D.C. for radiation therapy. We were gone for a little over 2 months. Very scary time in our very young marriage. And it was at that time that I realized, whenever I get back to Naples, Italy, I am studying the Bible with this group. When I got back, it was February. This all happened at Christmas and New Year's. So my Christmas tree was up. It was a real Christmas tree. Decorations, everything. When I came back, the disciples had taken down the tree, put away my decorations, cleaned out my fridge, and put in fresh food. JC, having cancer scared me to death. It changed my world because I was not in control. God was in control. But his cancer saved my life. God humbled me, and I saw a need for him. And as soon as we got back, we did study the Bible. I was baptized May 4th, 97. He's baptized June 14th. We are coming up on 26 years in Christ, which is awesome. Praise God. And my husband is cancer-free.
So gone. I don't know where you became a disciple, but this was our first church. These like eight people here. This, the tall, lanky brother with the high top fade, that's Rod Ford. That guy is my hero.
Oh, I forgot to share.
He was never a family group leader, never a Kingdom Kids leader. All he knew was I should, what's that?
Not trained,
that's right. All he knew was I should make disciples. How do I do that? He would study with me directly from Guard the Gospel.
Wow.
Just like, it wasn't all memorized, and he studied with so many people. People looking for the kingdom will snatch hold of it when they find it. They're not interested in your title or what you can and what you can't do. They're interested in Jesus. They're interested in Jesus. You don't need any other title other than disciple to make disciples of Jesus, because you're following Jesus. Do you remember when you figured out what a treasure the kingdom of heaven is? There's no way. You can't get your bearings. You don't know where you're going if you don't know where you are right now. If you're in the kingdom, Jesus is the king of every decision of your life. He makes all of your victories sweeter, and all of your defeats are just a blip on the screen to the final victory that he's already won. It keeps our hearts soft when we think about these things, doesn't it? Where was I? Where am I? Where could I have been? Maybe you've heard all this stuff before. Me too. But think about these parables in this way. If you could go to the next slide. Think about it this way. Who is the man in verse 44? And who is the merchant? You know, we can often put ourselves there and say, man, the kingdom is so important. I'll do whatever it takes. I don't know what you gave up to become a disciple. If you gave up stuff to become a disciple, then you had to count the cost, didn't you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But was it really enough for what you got back?
Mm-hmm.
What, was it enough for the relationships or for some of us for the marriage or the salvation, mm-hmm. the hope of heaven, assurance of eternity with God?
Yeah.
I read a great commentary one time that said that actually, if you think about it properly, Jesus is the man in the field. Jesus is the merchant. Think about it. He's the only one who has enough riches to purchase real treasure, to purchase a pearl of great price. And who is that for Jesus? You look around you. It's Queens. It's the New York City Church. It's anyone who makes Jesus Lord of their lives. And it was so precious to him, he gave all that he had. He went to the cross with joy, didn't he? That's what Hebrews 12:2 tells us. The man in his joy went and sold all he had. And Jesus, for the joy set before him, endured the cross. Mm-hmm. You are his joy.
Yeah. Yeah.
You are his treasure.
Yeah.
If you're studying the Bible, or maybe you're a disciple who's forgotten how valuable you are to Jesus.
Right.
Jesus isn't waiting for you to figure out how much he loves you.
Right. Yeah.
If you're thinking about studying the Bible, Jesus is not waiting for you like, I don't know, maybe I'll make a decision. Maybe this is worth it, maybe I don't. Romans 5:8 tells us, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us.
Amen. Yeah.
1 John chapter 4, verse 19 says, we only love because he first loved us. No one in this room is so spiritual that they love God more than he loved them. You are his treasure. Wherever you are in your spiritual journey, do not give up.
Amen. Yes.
It costs Jesus too much to buy you. Keep going.
Yep.
Keep going. In Naples, we had a great time. If you could go to the next slide. The church grew there. Me and Shiloh were baptized. And 6 months later, this brother Rod and his wife Diane left. And so an elder came over from London and said, would you guys lead the group? And we were like, we were only 20-something. We said, yeah, we should be leading the group. We're awesome. If you lead 6 more months, you'll change your mind. Isn't there someone else, brother? Like, don't you? But the group doubled, and And then we added some more people. And so then we got, Shiloh got out of the military and we got invited to London to be on staff there. I was actually appointed an evangelist by a Nigerian brother, Ignatius Eboyaye, down there. And we served in London. We served in Southampton at different times. And then we came back to the States. We had our oldest son and we served for a number of years in the Tampa church. And that was a great time. I was mentored there by a brother named Jeff Chacon. He and his wife Lisa are great, great friends to us. I was a deacon there. I was in graduate school, and I was a deacon. Me and Shiloh were overseeing the children's ministry. It's a church of about 300 with about half that many kids. There was a lot of kids. There's a lot of kids. And then later on, I was appointed an evangelist in the Tampa church there as well. It was a great time. The church was growing. It was stable. We were getting our legs under us. Our kids were younger. We had a great school figured out for them. It was awesome. But in about the middle of 2014, I was drawn to this verse. If we can go to the next slide, please. It kind of tells why we're in Syracuse now. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, the Bible says, "But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." Okay. You know, if you look a few verses above that, in verses 25 through 32, it talks about all the things that we worry about.
Yeah.
Food and clothes and our lives and comfort and what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Well, verse 33 says, you just need to seek God's kingdom and God's righteousness more than you worry about all these other things. Yeah. Brothers and sisters, the Christian life is a battle.
Yeah.
Sometimes we think it's a battle against sin, but it's a battle between security and comfort and faith. Between security and comfort and living by faith.
Yeah.
See, Matthew chapter 6, verse 33 is just the answer to Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. Verse 24 says, "No one can serve two masters. Either he'll hate the one and love the other, or he'll be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money."
That's right.
And of course, you've read, heard, it's not cash money, it's mammon, it's the things of this world.
Yeah.
How do we tip the scales between faith and money, security? Well, the Bible says, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. Beyond money. Money is not bad. Money is a root of evil, but it's not the root of evils. If you got money, awesome.
Right.
We need more wealthy disciples. That's all right.
Yeah.
That's all right. If it serves the kingdom, money is good. The great and difficult thing, I believe, about special missions, which we've been doing for 26 years, is that it both serves the kingdom and refines our hearts because it touches our wallets.
That's right.
What about, I know the stock market went up 700 points on Friday, but what if it drops 750 on Monday? I'll tell people a little bit older than me, I'm like, yeah, you're thinking about, there's not going to be Social Security when I get there. It's gone, baby. That's gone. We can think about that, right?
Yeah.
What about me?
Yeah.
How am I going to retire?
Yeah. That's real, bro.
The kingdom of God is his rule in our lives. But the kingdom is also his rule in the lives of others. And so when I set apart Jesus as Lord, I love him with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength, but I'm also called to love others enough to encourage them to bow down to the King.
Right.
To encourage them to understand that they are a great treasure to him, that they are a great pearl to him, that he sacrificed for them and he wants them back.
Yeah.
It's not unspiritual to have some comfort and security.
Yeah.
But it is unspiritual to have a job, a house, a car, a relationship, and let that be what makes you feel secure and comfortable and not pleasing God and living for his righteousness.
Yep.
So in 2013, things were going really well in Tampa. I was back on staff. It had been a number of years. And this brother from Syracuse named Ron Box, he's originally from Gainesville, Florida. He was a Gator down there. I'm from Georgia. We still get along. Anyway, that's a Georgia, Florida thing. But he called and said, hey, we're looking for someone to come and lead the church here in Syracuse. And I said, brother, I know somebody you should call. And it was Renzo Manaya. That's who I told him. I said, have you heard of Renzo Manaya? He's a great brother.
He sure did.
Anyway, that whole thing. But this scripture, Matthew 6:33, is still sitting there on my heart. You're so comfortable. Things are going so well. Life is exactly what you want it to be, where you want it to be, how you want it to be. If you can go to the next slide, this is a slide of my wife and I. This is Christmas in Tampa.
The beach.
Christmas in Tampa.
It is.
What could pry a 41-year-old man from that? If you can go to the next slide. To this. That is not the most snow that I've seen in Syracuse by far.
We shoveled that snow to take that picture.
The day we moved to Syracuse and unpacked all of our boxes, I was listening to the radio and they said, oh, it's the coldest February ever in the city of Syracuse. Wow. It's the longest time that Syracuse has had 3 feet of snow on the ground. And it's the longest time we've had more than 2 feet of snow on the ground. It snowed on Mother's Day that year.
It did. No lie.
If you can go to the next slide. Kingdom living is more. Somebody in this room might need to hear this. I don't know. It's more than warm weather and palm trees and retiring in Florida. Or South Carolina, or Tennessee. I heard it's really good there.
Texas.
Shyla and I had been on this journey, and we were being trained by this great mentor, Jeff Chacon. I mean, this brother was an evangelist, a teacher, 3 sons who were married, disciples to disciples, could have been an elder in any church. Mm-hmm. And when I went back on staff in Tampa, I told Jeff, hey, I want to serve God, but I want to learn from you. I will lead the teens. I'll lead the campus. Whatever you want me to do, I'll do it. But I want to learn how to lead a church. How could I not leave comfort when God was preparing me for his kingdom? Wow. Tampa's fine. There's a lot of small churches out there, even ones with snow, that need help. There's mission teams being formed, being put together that need help, prayer, financial, yeah, absolutely missions. But it needs people who are pricked in the heart, who are seeking first his kingdom and his righteousness, to consider changing their level of comfort and changing what makes them feel secure.
Yeah.
Are you secure in God or are you secure in what God's given you? You can go to the next slide, please. We've seen some great things in Syracuse. We've had over 40 baptisms in the 8 years we've been there. We're very, very grateful to God for all he's done. We got an intern, a wonderful Filipino brother, David Tabbing, there. And so we're training him and benefiting from having him there as a campus minister. He's dating a sister in New Jersey now. Please pray for my brother, David. He's a great brother. Our most recent baptism, this couple in the middle, this is Pete Armstrong and his now girlfriend, Denise. 4 years ago, Pete lost his wife to ovarian cancer. And he had a friend who came out, Denise, and she studied the Bible and became a disciple, and now they're dating. That's his girlfriend now. So that's gone great. We've had upstate get-togethers with Buffalo and Albany and with people from Ellicottville. That's me. I'm actually there in Canada with the brother with the gray beard. He leads the group in Ellicottville. There's a Filipino brother from the Hamilton Church. We got together up in Niagara Falls and had some fellowship with brothers in Buffalo. We have a great, great group there. It's going great up there. And also, we really have stumbled into something in Syracuse. We serve with a group called We Rise Above the Streets twice a month. And have built a close friendship with the guy who leads it. He was homeless himself for 10 years. And so he's really got connections. It's grassroots. Yeah, we don't have to get 7 certifications and wear 30 different things when we go there. We just show up and serve and love people. Yeah. And we're serving in the poorest part of one of the poorest cities in the country.
Wow.
Syracuse is the 10th poorest city in America. But if you're a child, it's the second poorest city in America. The area we serve, the average annual income per household is $12,000. We're so grateful to be able to remember the poor. You can go to the next slide.
You know, seeking first the kingdom is hard. We've actually been able to share our spiritual journey. It's an honor every time we get asked to, you know, down in different regions before the pandemic. And this is our first time, you know, sharing since the pandemic, and which is really humbling. But as we came together prepared for this, we were reflecting. We're like, it's been hard. It's been a hard few years. You know, one cool thing that happened before the pandemic was our son Juan, he got baptized. And we studied the Bible with his girlfriend, and she got baptized. It was awesome, right? And her parents, we studied the Bible with her parents. They got baptized. It was amazing. And in 2020, I tell people, there was like this weird pandemic rabbit hole that some people's minds went down. It was odd. And it was really hard on us. Our son left the church. Our sons still live with us. They went to college and they're in our home. We still have a fantastic relationship with our sons. But it's hard. He left. Yeah. His fiance left and her parents left. Wow. It was heartbreaking. The world is like unraveling around us, right? Yeah. And this is happening in our home. And the following day, we got all that news. There was a brother whom we loved, hosted, fed, started sending me threatening emails, wanting to come to my home, confront me. It was intense. I had to call the police. I had to hire an attorney on a brother that I loved. Wow. It was horrible. Wow. It was tough. You know, I had two sisters I was sharing with Dee Dee back there. They were like my right and left hand in the ministry. And they moved. They met wonderful brothers. They got married. They're both moms now. All of that's awesome. But that was a hard time. So there's like grief upon grief upon grief, and the world is unraveling. You know, I'm convicted by my first century brothers and sisters. They didn't have often a choice where to live. They saw their families persecuted, children persecuted, died for their faith. They lived lives under harsher conditions than we can understand. Our minds can't even wrap around it. You know, but those years were hard though, right? 2020, 2021. We had to figure out studying the Bible on Zoom. I studied the Bible with several women on Zoom. That was ridiculous. Singing on Zoom, worship on Zoom. You know, listen and hurt with my brothers and sisters, sharing their hearts following the days of the murder of George Floyd. I mean, it was such an intense time that we've gone through. Digging deeper, I was a part of the committee for the women's role in the Bible. We went through a whole lot in a short amount of time. I tell people, literally, Satan created a buffet of reasons for us to be divided, to see each other as the enemy. Mask, don't mask. Vaccine, don't vaccine. I mean, it was ridiculous. In person, not in person. One of the songs that, you know, we would use these songs. That was a really cool thing that we got to do, was from all the churches when we had online Zoom. And JC reminded me, remember that song, Waymaker? And I think it was the Chicago recording. And there was this sister, you know, Waymaker, miracle worker, yes. Well, there's this one where the sister looks straight into the camera. She says, even when you don't see it, you're working. Even when you don't feel it, you're working. You never stop working. Well, I was like, every time she sang that, I started bawling. And she repeated it. Even when you don't feel it, you're working. Even when you don't see it, you're working. You never stop.
That's right. That's right.
God is amazing. We had to overcome personal grief. And then we come back together and we start worshiping in person. And then I realize my sons aren't coming with me to church. So it's these layers of things. And I had to like sing again. And my heart didn't want to sing again. It was hard to reach out to new people. My heart didn't want to reach out to new people. And I'm reminded God loves my sons more than I can ever love them. They are on their own spiritual journey, you know. And the best thing I can do is help one person at a time know Jesus.
Jesus died for me.
Right.
He forgave me.
That's
why I sing.
That's, right.
That's why I worship. That's why I'm committed to my family of brothers and sisters. And that's why I'm committed to seeking first his kingdom.
So you've thought about where you have been. Where are you? Are you still seeking first his kingdom? I think after the pandemic, more people are like, I need to be more secure here. I need to get everything figured out here. And that's a hard place when Jesus calls us to live by faith. You'll never have it all figured out when you're following Jesus. Maybe you're an older disciple, 25, 30 years, and you're like, I've already done so much. I was over Kingdom Kids four different times. I didn't even have kids the third time. Maybe this brother's got some friends back in Tampa. I'm looking for a place now. What are you offering the kingdom where you are right now? What's your role here in Queens? What are you known for? Oh, you need that. Go ask this brother over here. She does that. He does this. This is what they're known for. It was a difficult 3 years. We're all trying to re-engage. Are you re-engaged with the kingdom? With kingdom living? As you look forward to special missions, this is a great place to check our hearts. Maybe you've had a better year than ever. Maybe you've had a harder year than ever. But are you engaging your heart with giving? That's not an amount you need to give. That's a heart you need to check.
Yep.
We found the kingdom. We're seeking it first together. So as we close out here, what more can we do? In Luke chapter 17, verses 20 and 21, the Bible says, once having been asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, Jesus replied, the kingdom does not come with your careful observation, nor will people say, here it is or there it is, because the kingdom is within you. In verse 20, the Pharisees are looking for that, where is the physical kingdom? Where is the thing I can touch and feel and grab that's going to make me feel good? In verse 21, where it says, the kingdom is within you, the more literal translations say it's in your midst. It's already here. Jesus says the kingdom is right in front of you.
Yeah.
And if you follow me, you've taken hold of it. But what happened? Jesus died on the cross by himself not too long after this, didn't he? They didn't take hold of it at that time. They didn't respond by faith and make him Lord. Instead, they crucified him. Are we going to take hold of the kingdom where we are today? You know, in Syracuse, we're still trying to figure it out. I don't know where we're going after the pandemic. We've just started meeting all of our meetings in January in person. And so we're like, oh, yeah, now we have Kingdom Kids, and we have all these things, and we need to figure out this. Oh, when are we going to have the church camp out that we have sometimes? Mm-hmm. If you can go to the next slide. Right now, we've been sending out a survey. We're trying to give every disciple somewhere to focus on. And so I'm a fan of these things called mind maps. And I've broken down all of the ministry responsibilities, not just the preaching and teaching, but Hope Worldwide and outreach and who's going to take care of the kids and who's going to think about the preteens, even though we only have two of them. And I want everyone to have a job. And so I'm asking people, what do you feel on your heart that God's calling you to do? And so I've sent out a survey. And if they don't send me any survey, I'm like, so God hasn't called you to anything? Because you can make up something. Like, Jesus wants me to X.
Right.
I've said, what you feel called to might not be on this list, but you better be called to something if you're following Jesus.
Right.
We have a 5-year plan that we put together in November of 2019. We were getting excited about rolling that thing out in February. February 2020, it's about to pop off in Syracuse. So we just have more time to pray.
Come on.
If you can go to the next slide. Martin Luther King Jr. said, faith is taking the first step even when you don't see the whole staircase.
Love that. Love that.
I could tell you I know where we're going, but I was going somewhere in February 2020. All I know is we're going to be praying and sharing our faith and our lives and serving the poor and doing our very best to walk in the footsteps of Jesus everywhere that we can.
Come on.
Because we are called to his incredible kingdom.
That's right. Amen. I love this last point. So where are we going? What is next? I have no idea. All I know is that I need to be surrendered. Yeah. This sermon is for me. Yeah. These scriptures are for me.
Yeah.
When I landed in Syracuse, I was super eager, like, let's go, you know. And it's been challenging, I think, for me, all of the transitions, all the going away parties, you know. It's hard for me, those losses. I mean, my son, the first 3 years we were there, he had 3 different mentors. They all moved, you know, and it's hard to be a teen when these mentors move, you know. In Acts 17, the Bible says that, you know, God sets the times and the places for us to seek him, for us to find him. He's not far from us. Seeking first the kingdom is a joy and it's a struggle. Do you feel that? If you're not feeling that, ask yourself, are you in the fight? Are you in that battlefield JC's talking about? Seeing people transform is so fulfilling. In August, I studied the Bible with this sister, Denise, and I really struggled. So this was last August, right? And I struggled with resentment towards God, like, who's studying with my sons? Who's befriending my son? Like, who's going to love up on him? I got to love up on this person. And my heart didn't want to. I was selfish. I was really, my heart was in a whole nother place. And I thought I was studying the Bible with Denise, you know, to help her get close to God. But God was using her to get me close to him. You know, we learned something different from every person that God puts in our life. And instead of seeing the negative, it has been a blessing. My son had the blessing of these 3 men investing in his life. And all the different women that have been in and out of my life, I've learned from, that have poured into me and have helped me. God from the beginning has taught me I am not in control, right? JC is free from cancer. Thank you, God. But I am so humbled before him, and I pray always to be surrendered no matter where he leads me and to continue seeking first the kingdom.
Amen. Brothers and sisters, that's where we are right now. It all starts with knowing where we've been, with how you stumbled upon or figured out that Jesus loved you. Are you continuing to seek him? The world wants to pull you away and tell you you don't have enough and you need this and you need that. And the all new of it. But the kingdom is trying to pull you towards faith. Until this journey ends, this human journey that our spiritual selves are on, let's live by faith in a king and a kingdom that will never fail. You have your own story. Where do you want it to go with Jesus? Right now, we're going to think about him. If you need a communion cup, I'm sure someone, does everyone have one? If you need one, maybe raise your hand. Someone will get you one. I see one hand back there. Awesome. Great. As we take communion together, let's remember that it was Jesus who, for the joy set before him, gave everything so that we could be here together even today. As we take the bread that is his body torn for us, and as we take the fruit of the vine that's his blood shed for us, let him be our motivation, whether times are good or times are hard, on this spiritual journey. Let's bow our heads. Father, man, we can have some great adventures following Jesus. Yes. We can meet friends that are lifelong that we would never have imagined as a result of being part of the household of God. Mm-hmm. Father, we can go through highs and go through lows, and we can feel so secure because we have firm footing with Jesus as our cornerstone. And yet, Father, we can never forget what Jesus did to call us. He could have called 10,000 angels, but instead he died for us. Right. There could have been some way that the Spirit would make those, as some teach, follow him and they must obey him. And yet, he gave us free will. And so we know that living in this world, our hearts can yo-yo between the comfort and the security and what this world teaches we need, and faith, which is what you tell us we need. Lord, as our attention and our hearts, our passions are drawn away from you, I pray that this time we share each week on the first day of the week, that we remember Jesus who died for us, that we remember him when the times on our spiritual journey are feeling great and when they're feeling low, that Jesus, his love for us never changes. His sacrifice is a once and for all sacrifice. He is all that we need. And I pray we would continue to believe that we would give up anything and go anywhere and do whatever it takes to please him. Please bless our communion in his name. Amen.